You may be seated. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you here this evening. Any one of us can do an internet search these days and come up with all kinds of images of the crucifixion. Artists over the centuries have tried to bring to light what happened on that day. The picture I have up on the screens is one of Rembrandt's, who was also fascinated with trying to capture the moment of the crucifixion, but many other biblical moments as well, as he brought out that in his work. Of course, Hollywood has also tried to capture the moment. The other night, Debbie and I just happened to catch the Passion of Christ that was on TV, but made back in 2004, and probably the most accurate portrayal of that event, and is also one of the most gruesome to watch. It's actually hard to watch because we don't like looking at real pain and suffering that took place on that cross and the flogging that took place prior to that. And if I were to show a clip of that movie right here and now, many of you would be tempted to get up and leave because you didn't come here to see something like that. But on this day that we remember, that is what happened. What I want to focus on today is, how does that affect our faith? Where is our faith in the midst of that? We can put our faith in a lot of things. Some will put their faith in horoscopes. Some will put their faith in psychics and other so-called mediums. We go to great lengths putting our faith in other things. When we came into this room today and sat down, we had faith that the pew that you're sitting in was going to hold you, and you probably didn't think twice before you sat down. You just sat. Do we trust God that much? I'm awed at the faith of Abraham, the patriarch of the Hebrew faith. God chose Abraham to birth and lead a nation. He told him to take his son Isaac, his only son at that point, and offer him as a sacrifice to God. What a test that must have been for Abraham. I try to put myself in that position and wonder if I could even do it. Could I take one of my children at God's request and offer them as a sacrifice to God? Would my faith be strong enough to even set out on that journey to do it? You see, at the center of our worship to God is a sacrifice. In the Hebrew tradition, the sacrifice offered on the altar was not just something that was a ritual that was done. It was offering the very best that the person had to God. The best lamb, the best calf, the best firstborn animal, the best whatever. It was, in essence, giving up something of oneself to God. And at the center of that sacrifice was the heart of the individual who was making that offering to God. Lord, I'm giving my best to you as a representation of my love for you. But this was something more. This is Abraham's son. It's now really, really personal. It's not just the best of something I own. It's my own flesh and blood. I remember seeing another old movie a few years back, and it's called The Bible, where it was made back in the 60s, I think, and George C. Scott played Abraham. He did a wonderful portrayal of what Abraham must have been feeling inside. Scripture doesn't really reveal the anguish of Abraham, but I'm sure as a father, he must have felt it. Think about the promises that God made to Abraham. You're going to be a father at your age, close to 100. Not only that, but a father of many nations. He received these wonderful promises. Now this, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him to me. Can you imagine the inner turmoil that was going on in Abraham? But what Abraham does know, and we do see, is that he knew God. He trusted him fully. He doesn't waver in knowing who God is. He takes Isaac to a place called Moriah. Historians agree that this is most likely the place where the Temple Mount in Jerusalem would sit in the future. How fitting a place. As Abraham and Isaac go to the place of sacrifice, Isaac asks the obvious question. Dad, where's the animal? Abraham puts his responsibility back on God. This is his request, not mine. God will provide the sacrifice. He provided him with a son. If this is what he wants, he will get it. Abraham is trusting God that he knows what he is doing. He may not understand, but God must understand. And as Abraham draws his knife on his son, tied to that alder, the angel of the Lord stops him. Abraham, Abraham! You see, his sacrifice was now complete. God didn't want Isaac to be killed. He wanted the sacrifice of Abraham's faith. He wanted Abraham's heart totally. The man who was to be, the man who was to be used by God to birth a nation had to know his God in a way that goes beyond everyday living. His total being had to be sold out to God. That was the sacrifice that God wanted and Abraham gave. Never again would God make such a request, because in that same place, God offered his own son instead. God stepped down out of heaven in the person of Jesus Christ and made the ultimate sacrifice for us all. Can you imagine how God must have felt? Can you imagine his anguish? But he loves the human race so much, he was willing to give his best, his only son. Sinless, perfect. He who had no sin became a sin offering. When that happened, the temple veil, as we know, was torn from the top to the bottom. Once where only priests could enter into the Holy of Holies, now we all have access to God through Jesus Christ. By the death of Jesus and his resurrection, we can enter the very throne room of God, not in a temple made of brick and mortar, but in our very heart. Because for those who believe, we become the temple where the Holy Spirit resides. So is the sacrifice still relevant today? Yes, it is. Paul tells us in Romans, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Our worship is still based on a sacrifice of ourselves. Our worship is not just singing like many like to think. It is that plus more. Our worship to God is a daily walk of how we live our lives out for him, to his service and his purpose that he has for each of us. God had a purpose for Abraham. Abraham had to trust God no matter what the cost. God has a purpose for us as well. Anyone who gives their life to Jesus Christ and receives him as Lord and Savior has a purpose that God wants to fulfill. We just need to let go and let God. Nikki Gumbel in the Alpha Course used to tell a story of a man who fell off of a cliff. He grabs a branch close to the top of the cliff that was sticking out of the side of the cliff, and he starts screaming for help. And God speaks out and says, "Here I am." And the man says, "Help me, Lord." God says, "Just let go of the branch." And then the man cries out, "Is there anybody else up there?" We can hold on to a lot of things in life. We can hold on to sin. We can hold on to all kinds of things that separate us from God. When Jesus was on that cross, two other guys were there, both criminals in their day. One guy mocked Jesus and held on to what took him there. The other thief turned to Jesus, knowing he deserved the punishment that he was getting in that day. But he let go. He said, Lord, notice he recognizes who Jesus is. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Sometimes we just need to let go of the branch. Abraham was willing to let go and indeed did let go. Jesus died on that cross for you and for me. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. The question is, are we willing to let go and offer ourselves to him? I want to encourage you that he has a promise for you, a promise to guide you, a promise to lead you if you let him enter into your life, a promise not only to bless here and now, but for an eternity. I want to encourage you, let go of whatever you're holding on to, whatever holds you back from the completeness that you can have in Jesus Christ, and let him fill you to the brim with his spirit, with his presence, so that you can experience all that he has for you if we let go. May we pray. Father, I thank you for the sacrifice that you have made for us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking the penalty of our sins upon yourself and paving the way for all of us. And if there's anybody here in this room tonight who's never made that commitment to you, never really accepted you as Lord and Savior, and knowing for a fact that their sins were taken up on that cross, I ask, Lord God, that you would allow their hearts to be open to receive you right now. Father, I thank you for opening the door of salvation and allowing us the opportunity to enter in. So, Father God, create in us a heart that longs for your presence in our lives. And remember us, Lord, when we come into your kingdom. Amen. Inside your bulletin, there is a song on the facing page. Let us sing that song together.